Good morning. Is this? It is on. I'll just have to speak up today. I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us. We have Marceau here visiting with us from here locally in Las Vegas. We have the Ramcharitars. Did I pronounce that correctly? And Justin Samuel, all the way from Toronto, Canada. We welcome them. And if you are visiting with us, I might have missed you. But like to welcome everybody and glad that you were able to attend worship today. We're going today to speak about truth. A sister asked me a few weeks or a month, recently I'd made some comments during a lesson, and we got in a discussion about dealing with other people, maybe people from denominations, people that don't have the background in the Bible that we do, and how to deal with them. And she said, you know, would you mind doing a sermon about that, about truth? And I always... People say, how do you come up with all the ideas? Well, one, you give me suggestions. Two, it's inexhaustible. The Bible, if I lived another 500 years, I couldn't give all the lessons that the Bible has. But anyway, today we're going to talk about truth. And I hope that this is meaningful more than just for the sister that I had the conversation with. Hopefully it'll be something that we all can use in our dealings with other people. One factor about truth is that there is truth. Amen. That there is truth out there. There are some people that want to give the false message that there is no truth, that whatever you do or whatever you accept is truth for you. There is truth. We mentioned today in Bible class that God has never expected of His people or has never punished His people that He didn't explicitly tell them what He wanted and what He expected beforehand. Another factor is that you can know the truth. There were in the first century a number of people that felt you can't know the truth. I can know the truth, and you need to come to me and I'll give you the truth. But I'm special. You need to come to me for that truth. There are people today. There are entire religious bodies that are based on that. You don't worry about the truth. I'll tell you what you need to know. Does anybody out there want to rely on me to tell you the truth is laid out for us in the Bible? I can direct our thoughts. I can direct a message from the Bible. I know I wouldn't want to depend on me for truth. The Bible's done it for us. And this is a truth that we have to abide in the truth. We have to stay and go by the truth. This is dating me, but many of you will recognize this name. Hopefully everybody, the name Walter Cronkite. Oh, how I long for newscasters like that. You know, that, and he was, I don't remember what year it was, but for many years he was just kind of known as the most trusted man in America. that if he presented the news, you could count that it was vetted out, that it didn't have a political agenda attached with it, that the news was factual news. We don't have to worry. The most trusted book in the world is the Bible. We don't have to worry about a political agenda. We don't have to worry about man's slanted teachings. We don't have to worry about misunderstandings. All we have to do is study it, because the truth is here. And so those are some of the things we're going to look at today. If you notice on the outline, it is just a list of scriptures. And I think it's fairly self-explanatory. So we're going to look at these scriptures, and if you have an idea or want to jot something down next to those, feel free, write on it. You know, if you need more, we got a copy machine. We can print more. Deuteronomy, which I appreciate Terrence reading, and he even read some of the build-up to this verse. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, says, "He is the rock," talking about God. "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." God would not be God if any untrue statements were ever uttered by him. If we couldn't count on the Word of God, then all bets are off. He is true. He is just. His righteous judgments will last forever. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you." That right there, as I was preparing this lesson, I was thinking, what a great sermon that would be. Just this verse. When we break that down, that might be a sermon down the road. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. A lot of people serve God. A lot of people serve God, but not in truth. But not in truth. Or not with all their heart. Psalms 86, starting in verse 10. "For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth." We have to. We have to abide in his truth. "I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever." This is based all on truth. We need to worship. We need to walk and abide in his truth. Psalms 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good." I don't know if there's any disputing that. There are people that will, though. There are people that even believe in God that will sometimes question that God is not good. "Why did God do this to me?" I understand. But the Lord is good. That is a truth. He is good, for his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. This was as much of a truth in the time of David as it is to us today. That, that his truth endures. It's not, of course, there is some things that would that the setting, you know, the fact that God gave his truth to build an ark was to Noah. For that time, that setting. He's not telling us to build an ark today, but he's telling us today to obey him, just like he did to Noah. His truth endures to all generations and will continue to endure. John 8:32. Jesus says to his disciples, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We won't be bound by the shackles of sin anymore, or the shackles of lack of knowledge. I'm reminded on the day of Pentecost, it mentions that Jerusalem was filled with devout men. They were devout. They believed in God. They did not have the full truth. And with that knowledge of God, we break any shackles keeping us from fully serving God. The shackles of lack of knowledge, the shackles of sin, the shackles of man's influence on us, we break and it sets us free. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is a universal truth. A couple of things. The fact Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth." And the idea that nobody gets to the Father except through me. This is a universal truth today. But yet a lot of people think, oh, you can get to God in different ways. Your path is different than my path. Your experiences are different than my experiences. The conditions in which you live in might be different than the conditions I live in and face on a daily basis. But the way to the Father is through Jesus. Case closed. Period. Put parentheses around it. Shut it up. No more argument. That's truth. Jesus said it. That's good enough for me. And I and me and this lovely sister were discussing about how many people we encounter. Well, we're going to the same place. We're just taking different routes. No, we're not. If you're going any other route than through Jesus, you're not going to get there. That's not me saying it. If it was me saying it, I would want everybody to make it. I would include everybody gets an invitation. Everybody does have an invitation. They just don't always accept to go. Jesus said it, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to get to the Father, you got to go through me. John 17:17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." That's how we can learn about God. That's why Bible study is so important. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is truth. That goes right along with what Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. We can't get to the Father except through Him and what He did. And I appreciate the men that get up every Sunday and lead our thoughts and our prayers in the Lord's Supper. They remind us of that fact. 2 Peter 1:16, this is years later, long after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The things that the Apostle Peter had experienced was life-changing. To have been with Jesus and then to be one of the 12 to take the gospel to the rest of the world after Jesus. And there were people living in the first century years later that wanted to preach that. They wanted to preach the concept Jesus, some people said Jesus didn't arrive in the flesh. That Jesus was an idea, Jesus was a concept. That he didn't live here on earth and didn't raise from the dead. His teachings are important, but that he as a physical being really wasn't here. Peter responded to some of those teachings. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses. Don't you tell me he wasn't a living, breathing entity. I ate with him. I walked with him. I talked with him. I saw the empty tomb. I saw our Savior after he was raised. Tell your story to somebody else, not to me. We were eyewitnesses. That is the truth. You weren't there, I was. That's truth. In 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, this is the Apostle John writing, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be made full. When we realize that truth about Jesus, our joy will be made full. In 2 John chapter 2, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I always heard a saying growing up, the proof's in the pudding. I didn't quite understand what it meant, how truth can be in the pudding and the proof. And I thought milk and the mix and that was the pudding, but I understand what it means. The evidence We say we know God. We say we know Christ. But if we don't keep His commandments, do we truly know Him? And it says, if we don't keep His commandments, the truth is not in that person. It's as simple as that. 2 Timothy 2:15, we've read this. You guys hopefully have memorized it by now. We use this scripture an awful lot here at South Valley. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. I use the New King James. The King James Version says, study to show yourself approved. Be diligent in that study. Not just a flyover read, but be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is why Bible study is so important. To know, one, to know what the truth is, and to be able to distinguish false teaching that you may hear from the truth. John 4. Jesus says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. Not just going to take any and every form of worship. If you think He is, ask Nadab and Abihu someday. See if what they offered to God was acceptable. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. That's how we worship God. Hopefully, our worship to God today has been done in that way. Hopefully, it will be acceptable to God. And hopefully, we've all done that worship in our way. Our worship to God has been done in spirit and truth. I hope that will help us deal with some of the people in our lives that we encounter, and we will. If we haven't, I promise we will. That they believe, oh, we're all going to the same place, just going there in different directions. Or we might encounter some, well, truth for you is different than truth for me. So God has different standards, is what you're saying. Hopefully, we will be a little bit better armed, not to win the argument. Not to win the argument. Because we can win the argument. It's not about winning the argument. It's winning the soul. Hopefully, we will be better equipped to win the soul and show them the truth about God, the Bible, God's Son, Jesus, and hopefully that truth can work in their life. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, if you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, that is one of the truths. Jesus says in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. Again, don't get mad at me. Jesus said it. If you need prayers of this congregation, if you need to repent of sin, if there is sin in your life keeping you from being pleasing and following God to the best of your ability, repent of those sins. And worship Him properly. Whatever your need, if you're looking for a church home, We would love to worship with you. Whatever your need, please stand and come forward. Let your needs be known as Colin leads us in the invitation.